This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The end of the third quarter of 2022. Wall Street Journal reporting the bad news. Stocks finish a losing week, month, and quarter. Subhead, Friday declines for the Dow, the S&P 500, and NASDAQ are the latest setback for investors. Not only that, but we're looking at a historic event. This is the worst first 9 months of a calendar year since 2002 and the beginnings of the war on terror. We've come full circle from the George Bush administration to the Joe Biden administration with the markets quaking because of inflation, because of crisis in Europe, because of the pandemic has not been solved about with the road ahead. I welcome Jim McTague, who reported on these 20 years for Barron's, and he was certainly watching the markets retreat in 2002, that recession that followed the attack on New York and Washington. And here we are again, faced with a road we've been down, and all bear markets correct themselves, but this bear market seems relentless, and yet it is just the beginning. We hit the 20%, which makes you a bear market. However, Jim, a very good evening to you. The markets are behaving sluggishly. We ended the third quarter. We have the fourth quarter ahead. I want to turn immediately to the events in Florida and the Carolinas. A major hurricane has struck. We're given some big numbers about the damage. The last I saw, with just a couple of counties in Florida, $40 billion worth of damage. So is this hurricane, is this spending that's going to follow the hurricane, does it suit the ambition of the Federal Reserve to reduce the out-of-control inflation, or is the spending going to be inflationary itself? Good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, John. You know, I think in the short run, it's going to be inflationary, and it complicates the job for the Federal Reserve because it will cause a spike in prices for already scarce building materials. Even though home construction has slowed down in many parts of the United States, there is still a shortage of bricks, of steel, of lumber, and paint. And because there's a shortage, the prices are up something like over 20% this year. So when the rebuilding starts in Florida and there is a need for these materials, of course, it's going to create more demand while the supply still lags, and prices will go up. It's inflationary. The other thing we have to remember is that Miami is a major port. I think Jacksonville has a lot of shipping. Charleston, which is getting hit by the hurricane tonight, is a major port. A lot of our shipping has shifted from the West Coast to the East Coast. So this will cause a supply chain disruption. I don't know for how many weeks, but it'll exacerbate a supply chain problem, which the president is right about this. The supply chain is exacerbating inflation because it slows down the transfer of goods from manufacturer to the consumer. And that, you know, and again, when you have a constrained supply, prices rise. So, you know, Chairman Powell is going to have a tough, not an easy time ahead. This is a complication. It's not a disaster.
We head towards the question of, is this a recession? Is this not a recession? There's contradiction in all directions. So before we get to Washington and the Federal Reserve, the Atlanta Fed, which we all follow on an app, because it is not predictive. It tells you where we are in the quarter if it was to finish now. It moves all the time. And right last week, when the Federal Reserve was making its announcements about 0.75 point, the Atlanta Fed said the GDP for the third quarter was growing at 0.3%. Not negative, but not very high, following the two negatives we had in the first and second quarter. Now, a week later, it's 2.4%. It's a mixed picture. We also have a jobs picture, a jobs number coming next week, but the indication is that the jobs market remains tight. That is, that there are still lots of jobs looking for people, and that means that the historically low jobs numbers are good. That is a strong signal, not a weak signal of the economy. So, Jim, is there any way to unpack this? The market is selling off as if we are in a recession, and yet the Atlanta Fed and the jobs numbers say we're not in a recession.
That's amazing. You know, I troll the internet. I look at young traders and listen to them. The wheels are coming off the economy. But the numbers suggest otherwise, as you point out. Yeah, the job picture is still robust, and people are still spending, especially for services. My theory is that baby boomers are sitting on their 401ks, a lifetime of savings, and they have a generous Social Security subsidy, so that the boomers are helping keeping spending up. And in terms of the jobs, because we have supply chain constraints and we have people demanding goods, manufacturers can still make money if they hire and produce more. So now, having said that, around the edges, you can see the economy falling apart. I mean, you see talks of, you know, major layoffs. You know, Ford's going to lay off 4,000 people. You know, in Silicon Valley, they're making moves to lay off people. So the recession is around the corner. It's not here yet.
Inflation is driven by supply chain. It's driven by too much money chasing too few goods. I understand all that. But we're also seeing worldwide inflation. So I want to puzzle through this with you, Jim. For example, we know we've seen gas prices in California unusually high, $8 in downtown Los Angeles, $7 or $6 in San Diego and Glendale. Now, that's specific to California, I understand, but the elevated prices of gasoline have been with us for many months, not as high as they were earlier in the year, but they're high. When we do inflation numbers, we take the food and fuel out. Does that really give us a picture, Jim? Because what people worry about all the time now is the filling the gas tank or what you have to spend when you go to the grocery store. So is that the inflation the Fed can fight, or is that irrelevant to the Fed fight?
Well, it is relevant to the Fed fight because, first of all, fuel is reflected in the cost of everything. And in terms of backing food and fuel out, that's ridiculous because that's where the average consumer is on the receiving end of the most punishment. You know, so when the cost of commuting goes up, or the cost of a trip to the grocery store goes up, or the cost of trucking food to the grocery store goes way up, that's inflation that you don't want to back out. So the inflation is still real. It's still high. And it argues for the Fed to remain tough, even though there are voices on Wall Street claiming the wheels are already coming off the economy and that dastardly Jay Powell has to back off.
All right, let's go to, this is the Wall Street Journal reporting. A measure of inflation that excludes volatile food and energy rose to 4.9% year over year, most recently, from 4.7% the prior month. The quote from a president of a company, the managing director at the Wealth Alliance, is really just another indication that inflation is still broadening. For anyone who's watching the Fed, it's ammunition for the Fed to keep hiking rates, which is certainly bearish for stocks and bonds. Let's go to the Fed, Jim. Jay Powell is doing what he said he was going to do. He's going to raise rates through the year. The 0.75 point last week began the sell-off of the market. That might be the panic that you're talking about, the young traders. Now we have another meeting in November and December. Jerome Powell and the Board of Governors are going to keep fighting inflation. That's why they use the word pain. That's all a good thing, isn't it, Jim? Don't we want them to do that? I understand people think their portfolios are shrinking, but inflation is another way of shrinking portfolios for a long time, and it's damaging to the least among us. So isn't Powell on the right course, and isn't the market behaving correctly by selling off? Doesn't that help him?
You know, he's on the same right course that your dentist is when he starts doing root canal. We don't enjoy it, and we hate him for it, but he has to do it. And now, one reason he has to do it is he and his companions at the Fed were too slow to recognize that inflation was a problem. And his predecessors at the Fed, going all the way back to 2014, were adopting policies that brilliant economists like Paul Samuelson were worried or were warning would create the inflation we have today. Samuelson, I remember in particular because he was shouted down like the village idiot, and he was a Nobel Prize winning economist. So the Fed is doing what they have to do because they botched the job, and we know they have to do it, but that doesn't mean we're going to love them.
So we come to the fact that the Fed is doing the right thing. The markets are behaving correctly. They're retreating in the light of the Fed doing the right thing. This is going to carry on for the rest of the year, if I understand correctly. So let's turn to, when we come back, what you've been saying about the market's behavior all year. You've been right for the first half plus the second quarter. You said the third quarter, you said it would be ugly. But what does this mean now coming into an election cycle? And then for 2023, where widespread voices, I mean, from London to Beijing to San Francisco, are saying recession for the globe, not just for the United States in 2023.